This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Morning news back then. It was a weekend evening anchor, so it was 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. I produced one show. I produced, you know, the 6 p.m. on Saturday and the 10 p.m. on Sunday, and then I reported 3 days a week. And I did that for 6 months. And then they moved me up to the main weekday anchor. So I did 5, 6 and 10 PM. And I produced the 10 PM with my co-anchor. And then
what does produce mean? And it means you got to put together the stories and the whole
putting together. So I'm not putting together the reporter stories, but it's a half hour show, that one was.
Right.
And when you're producing a show, you're timing all of the stories, you're determining what stories go where, what the flow is, you're actually determining the content of the show.
You're compiling the show.
Yep.
Makes sense. You're
putting it all together.
Right.
And then you're writing basically the stories that the reporters aren't. Now, obviously, when you get up into a larger market, producers
you have more people, right?
Stories. There's more people. There's a little more spit and polish, and you're not doing a million.
But it's the same concept.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
It's like, you know, I'm a solopreneur, so my law firm, I got to do everything. But if I had a bigger,
that's
firm,
people your chief cook and bottle washer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay, but that's how you learn, right? Because you're
that's
young.
That's exactly how you learn, and I appreciated that time as much as I didn't think I was going to like it. I appreciated being in that little town because the fishbowl was not as there weren't as many eyes on you. You could make your mistakes, and trust me, I made plenty of them, and I still do.
Right.
But it was a great place to learn, and it's where I grew my confidence. I would say after 6 to 9 months of being on the air almost daily, there was not a lot that could throw me. And I certainly felt more than comfortable getting up there and talking.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
Hi, I'm Carrie Barrett with Carrie Barrett Consulting. I'm the owner founder. I started my business just about a year ago. I am a media trainer, a public speaking coach, and an on-camera readiness coach. What does that mean for you? It means this. You know how when you shoot a 2-minute video and it takes you 3 hours and you really hate the end result anyway? I make sure that 2-minute marketing video takes 2 minutes to record and you love the end result.
All right, Carrie. So thanks for joining me today. I know we'd spoken before. It took us a while to kind of connect. But thanks for coming on the podcast. Yeah. I think you're busier than me. Every day I see a new post from you, another video. You're very good at that, by the way. You're very good at people throw up a post and you're like, you must shoot these videos like in a hallway somewhere. I don't know how you do it. It always looks good when you do it. So,
well, it's not supposed to look like a hallway. It's supposed to look like an office.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's what I have to do. You know, I mean, I think right now, especially because we're all navigating whatever it is that we're navigating, most of us aren't even really sure. And I'm in that group as well. I do understand the value of putting out video marketing, you know, marketing material, whether it's thought leadership pieces or it's tips and tricks about camera presentation. And the key to doing it well, one of them anyways, is putting it out there consistently. So that's
and it makes no sense for you to put it in writing.
Right.
Like, why would you post something in writing when you do everything on video?
Yeah, no, what this is what you should do on camera. Right. Let me describe it for you. Right. Imagine this, a microphone and a webcam.
Right. Plus, you know, you look good on camera and you sound good and it sells your service, right? Because right. people say, if you look like an idiot, they'd be like, well, why would I hire her to...
Right. Yeah. You know what? There probably are some. Right. I certainly know that there were... I definitely had television viewers back when I was a broadcaster that thought I was an idiot. And some days I was. But for the most part, anything that you can do with a camera or with a keyboard, you can also do with a camera. So anything that I can do with video,
right.
my emails, my newsletters, client onboarding, I try and do in at least some capacity with a video element to it. It helps create a connection as well, especially now when we can't see one another in person for the most
right.
part.
I think you always have a video attached to your emails, right? Isn't there? Like
I always, I have a video in my email signature that just describes.
Right. That's the one I saw. Yeah.
yeah. It's a shorter right. video just about what we do and how we do it and book a call.
Okay. So we know you're an on-camera expert and you help people with that side of the business when you're a business owner, but let's go back to like, you know, where you grew up and your training, you went to college and how you got into all that you do now.
All that I do now.
Yeah.
Well, I was born in Illinois. And, no, I
were
did.
Were you born in
I
Illinois?
I was born in Illinois.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I find that I have a Jersey accent that's beginning to creep.
You do have a Jersey accent. There's no question about it.
Those
you certainly
are
don't have
words.
A Chicago. Are you from Chicago, the outside of Chicago?
I know. I was Glen Ellyn, which is, yes, okay. the out suburb.
So they
Chicago.
Like Chicago? They talk
Chicago
that
and De Beers or yeah. something. I don't know. That was a weird mix of accents.
Yeah. Sure, TV, you got rid of your accent. That's what happens.
Well, I did, but I lived overseas. I lived in Britain and I lived in Saudi Arabia for a while, which I think, looking back now, probably influenced my choice to go into journalism because I've always appreciated... I think because of that early exposure to people's stories and different cultures and different ways of life, although right. I never articulated it that way at the time, it was only looking back that I think I understood it. I actually started out as a pre-veterinary medicine major. And
okay.
Shockingly, I used to hate public speaking. Not only did I hate it, I was awful at it. And I don't mean like I just was a little bit nervous and I mean awful, like shaking back of the room.
Really?
Puddle of my own vomit.
Nice.
It was a bad.
Like you want to be in the casket instead of giving the eulogy, right?
That's exactly right. Jerry Seinfeld. 100%.
Right. Very good. I think he stole that. I don't think he made that up.
What?
I don't think
From
so.
Who?
I just think that's a fact. Like people
you're just casting aspersions.
I don't know. Whatever. But I think though that's a very good thing for you to say because people that are listening to this, people that watch your videos, they might look at it and say, oh, come on, you know, you're beautiful and you have you know, you're very good on camera, but then they hear pump you up. But then they hear that you were very shy and throwing up backstage, so maybe they can do it too, right?
That's exactly it. Trust me, if I can do it, you can do it.
You can become comfortable in front of the camera.
You become comfortable. And really, there are best practices across the board that apply to speaking and presenting on camera.
Okay.
But truly, 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 at the end of the day, it's not about being perfect and making sure that, you know, every syllable is enunciated and you look flawless. It's really
right.
not about that. It's making sure that your message resonates and that you're telling it in an authentic way, in a way that most people can appreciate, right? You are looking to appeal to a large audience. But the truth is, I started out in pre-veterinary medicine. I did that for 2 years and I was like, chemistry and I were never going to be friendly. We had a very bad breakup.
And becoming a vet's very difficult.
Do you know what's harder to get into vet school than vet school?
I know. I was at Cornell and my fraternity brother was a pre-vet major. He couldn't get into the Cornell vet school.
Isn't that insane?
It's insane. But
like
I mean, if you think about it, though, you have to
25.
Learn anatomy of like all these different animals, not like just humans. So,
right. Well,
makes sense.
And there's fewer vet schools than there are medical schools. So the competition
competitive. Yeah.
It's super competitive. So anyway, so I took a year and a half off and I had no idea what it was that I wanted to do. And then my school, I went to Clemson undergrad, had a great veterinary
Death Valley,
program.
Love the Tigers.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
But not so much in the communications department. They had it was new and it was very broad. It was speech pathology, a little bit of marketing, some PR, advertising, journalism, whatever. And I didn't specifically articulate that I wanted to go into journalism, But I did say to myself in my effort to graduate that there is something I can do within this broad spectrum of communications that I can A, earn a living at, B, does it involve chemistry, and C, oh, by the way, maybe, just maybe, I can begin to get a grip on this paralyzing fear that I have of speaking in public. I knew I was going to have to take a public speaking course. I knew there were going to be elements of that in no matter, you know, whatever it is that I chose to kind of niche down into. So my first semester back, I got an internship at a local TV station, not necessarily because I anticipated going into TV, but because I had loaded up my schedule with, you know, overtime courses in an effort to.
Now, what year were you in at the, was this your junior?
I knew what you're trying. This was, so technically.
No, not the year, not the date. Like, what, were you a junior at this point or a sophomore?
Well, there was a couple of semesters that I was on academic probation. So I was at the tail end of my sophomore year.
Okay, so you're about the middle
I should have been
school.
A senior, but I was at the tail end.
But did you lose credits because you changed or no?
I didn't. Okay. I mean, there were some that were no longer applicable, right? Yeah. I don't need to take chemistry.
You transferred, right?
Right. But most of those credits I could transfer over. There were some that I need, right? Like there were language requirements in journalism.
That you didn't have before, right?
So I got this internship at a TV station. It was 3 credits. I could jam it into my schedule. And from
and Clemson's like an hour or two out of Atlanta. Is that right?
Yep. It's about an hour, 2 hours north of Atlanta, 2 hours south of Charlotte. So I had an internship in Greenville, Spartanburg, which is in South Carolina. It's a TV station in the mid 30 markets, which is for people who are unfamiliar with that. It's kind of a larger medium sized market. It's not New York City. It's also not, you know, Topeka.
Right. Got it.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. So I loved it. And then I figured out I have to figure out a way to get around this fear that I have of speaking in public, because as an on-air talent, not only are you required obviously to speak on camera for your job, but there are events all the time behind the scenes and after hours where you're hosting, you know, charity fundraisers and charity auctions, and you're emceeing the Race for the Cure.
Because you're a voice person. They're going to ask you to do it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Now, you were an intern at this point, so you're not on camera.
No.
Yeah,
no,
right.
No. Yeah, but I'm practicing and I'm real bad.
No, but it's good. I mean, here's something that makes you so uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
We've all had things in our life like that where you said, I want to get over that. I don't want to live like this for my life. So it's
absolutely.
Good. Okay.
It's terrifying, though. And so I went on to get my master's degree at the University of Florida, which has a really strong broadcast. Yeah.
My wife's a Seminole, so I won't hold that against you.
I won't hold it against her. And I got another internship. I actually got an internship between undergrad and grad school at VH1 up in New York City.
Okay.
And then I got another internship at a TV station in Tampa. And from there, I got my first job in Wichita Falls, Texas, which is smaller than Topeka.
Yeah.
And
but
in
you
the
got a job,
there,
right? So.
You got a job. I had a master's degree. I was making $17,000 a year. I was.
Did that go far in Topeka? Probably in Wichita.
I wasn't in Topeka. I was
Wichita.
In Wichita Falls. I did have a fairly nice apartment for $300
a
month.
Yeah.
I was very, very tight with the drive-through person at the Taco Bell. And he would send me the leftovers. And I made it work for 3 years. I wasn't anticipating being there that long, but I learned a lot. I was promoted quickly. And truly, that's where I learned to have confidence.
Well, Carrie, what were you doing? Were you an anchor?
I was on the news desk
or whatever they call it?
I was on the news desk. So I started out as the weekend evening anchor. Actually, I don't even think we had weekend morning news back then. It was a weekend evening anchor. So it was 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. I produced one show. I produced, you know, the 6 p.m. on Saturday and the 10 p.m. on Sunday. And then I reported 3 days a week. And I did that for 6 months. And then they moved me up to the main weekday anchor. So I did 5, 6, and 10 p.m. And I produced the 10 p.m. with my co-anchor. And then
produce, what does produce mean? It means you got to put together the stories and the whole
putting together. So I'm not actually putting, I'm not putting together the reporter stories, but when you, so it's a half hour show, that one was.
Right.
And when you're producing a show, you're timing all of the stories, you're determining what stories go where, what the flow is, you're actually determining the content of the show.
You're compiling the show.
You're compiling. Yep.
Makes
sense. You're putting it all together.
Right.
And then you're writing basically the stories that the reporters aren't. Now, obviously, when you get up into a larger market, producers
you have
not
more people, right?
Stories.
Of course.
There's more people. There's a little more spit and polish, and you're not doing a million.
But it's the same concept.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
It's like, you know, I'm a solopreneur, so my law firm, I got to do everything. But if I had a bigger,
that's firm, people your chief cook and bottle washer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay. But that's how you learn, right? Because you're
that's
young.
That's exactly
and
how you learn. And I appreciated that time as much as I didn't think I was going to like it. I appreciated being in that little town because the fishbowl was not as, there weren't as many eyes on you. You could make your mistakes. And trust me, I made plenty of them and I still do.
Right.
But it was a great place to learn and it's where I grew my confidence. I would say after 6 to 9 months of being on the air almost daily, there was not a lot that could throw me. And I certainly felt more than comfortable getting up there and talking. It's
right.
Doing.
So
it's
you kind of, so it's a difference between like you're the new quarterback for the New York Giants and under a spotlight all the time versus
right.
like a small market team where you can actually develop and like feel comfortable and become good
yeah.
at what you do. Right. So it was good that you were there.
Absolutely. News yeah. works a little differently now than it did back then. I mean, that was 20
sure.
years ago and the advent of the internet and of course the TV industry is in a state of contraction. So larger markets are hiring younger than they ever have before. And so some of those baby steps that you take in the beginning are not necessarily how people are developing their careers now. Although
right.
I think to some degree that still a little bit of a mistake. I always suggest cutting your teeth when there's not as many eyes watching every flaw that you make.
But is that because, so that means there's more competition, right? Because there's less positions and everyone's fighting for.
Yep, yeah. absolutely. And they're I mean, TV stations are cutting left and right now, you know, A, because of the pandemic, but B, and this goes back even to when I first started, because of the advent of the internet, people are curating their own news feeds. Smartphones were the
yeah.
downfall.
So you're competing with everybody now, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember Amy Nuzzo from NBC? She's a friend of mine. She lives in Fanwood. And she used to be, I think, on NBC or ABC. She used to be reporting and whatever. She does her own production company now, whatever. She said she'd never go back to it. It was like a nightmare.
No.
So cutthroat. Ridiculous.
You know, it is. It's super competitive. I will say that I only ever worked with one real jerk. As far as I know, I don't know, people could have been saying things behind my back, but
not but aware of.
I only know that I worked with one real jerk. And the thing about news is that you're never off, right? You're all, I mean, it is, I had 3 cell phones. They were with me at all times.
Because anything could happen, right?
In case anything happened and you had yeah. to come in. And the last thing you do before you get up is before you go to sleep is you check your email. If you wake up in the middle of the night, you check your email. If you first thing you do when you get up in the morning is check your email. And you're constantly following whatever is going on in the news
right.
cycle. And
yeah.
so for me, when I was at NBC, part of the challenge was I worked on the morning show. I worked on Today in New York, which aired from 4 to 7 a.m. I was
yeah.
up at 1:30 every morning. I left my house at 2. I got into 30 Rock at 3 and sat in hair and makeup for a while, threw together a story.
Did you get a limo to the city or no? You had to drive yourself and take
garbage? Well, it's garbage. No, I had to drive myself.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
No, I'm sure they don't.
Not even at the network. I
no.
mean, there's Savannah Guthrie and Lake Lesser Holt. That's pretty much the only
that's
people
right.
get a, yeah.
Unless
get
you want to pay for your own limo,
yeah,
I guess.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, right.
But we did get press parking, which was on 6th Avenue.
Okay.
Right across from 30 Rock for free
right
on the street. So that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
But it's tough. It's a tough schedule. And as much as I like the idea of being at home in the afternoon with my kids, I also was just a shell of myself. You
yeah,
know,
you were a wreck.
I was a wreck.
Your
I mean,
schedule, because I would think you can't really be on a totally shifted schedule because you have a family.
Right.
They got to eat dinner. They're on the normal schedule, right?
They're so needy.
Yeah. I know. What do you do with these kids? They always want some. You got to feed them every day.
Mooches.
They told me I have kids. They're like, you got to feed this kid every day. I'm like, every day?
Not three every times day. A day? That seems excessive.
I know.
It is tough. I mean, I've always done morning. I like the format of morning news. I haven't always done morning news. I've anchored evenings as well.
But you're more of a morning person.
Nobody's a 1:30 a.m.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. Right.
I enjoy the format of morning news. I like that that the shows are generally longer. There's a little more room for spontaneity. Generally, morning news is very habitual for viewers, and so they grow very accustomed to you. It's really easy. Now, I don't want to say it's really easy, but it's easier to make a connection with a morning show viewer. And you have so much camaraderie with your crew. I always have, because you're all just, you know, we all roll in looking like we wrestled with a bag of hammers overnight and we're all commiserating together.
Yeah.
But the tough part is that you're all coming in at 1:30 in the morning. And so I would go home, and when I didn't have kids, I could be very regimented about my schedule. But here at NBC, where I have three kids, I would come home at like 11. I would take a nap for 2.5 hours. Then everybody would be back from school, and it would be homework and dinner and activities. You know, this one's doing gymnastics, this one's dance, this one's t-ball, whatever. And then bath and bed, and then I'd nap for another 2 hours, and then I would go to work. And
yeah, that's not good.
After a while,
it's hard to function. Now, would your husband take over when you would go to bed early, or no way?
No, I mean, I didn't go to bed early. I would go to bed at like 10 or 10:30 because I had, you know, my husband's a pilot, so very often he's
not. Oh, so he's not there all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, good choice.
Good times. I know.
But I mean, I go to bed at 10:30, 11, 11:30. I can't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I can't imagine what.
Right. It was rough. Anyway,
I get used to it.
I agree with your friend, even though I don't know her. It's a tough business, and it was time for me to go.
Right. Okay. Where'd you go from Wichita?
From Wichita, I went to Phoenix, Arizona. I had met my husband actually in Wichita Falls, Texas. He was there. Okay. He used to fly for the Air Force. He was finishing up pilot training. He flew F-16s. And so his next assignment was at Luke Air Force Base, which is in Phoenix. So my career is somewhat different than—
You're an Army brat now.
I'm Air Force.
Did I say Army? I meant military. Sorry.
Yeah, military.
And thank your husband for his service, by the way.
I will. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate that. I never had— news is an interesting business in that it's very small. Everybody is, you know, maybe 5 degrees of separation from one another. And most people have gone all over the country because you may be working in California, but the next job that pops up that, you know, meets your needs is in, you know, I don't know, Chicago.
Right. And if it's your job, it's your career, you got to go. Right?
You go. And so I never had that opportunity really, because he was military. And so I always followed wherever his next assignment was and had to make wherever that was work for me. So he moved to Phoenix for his, to go to Luke Air Force Base. And I found a job at the ABC station in Phoenix.
Of course, the guy's mowing right next to you.
That's
right?
That's actually him right up there right now.
That's your husband?
Yeah.
You make him mow the lawn?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
He's not flying right now. He's got a lot of
I would think not, right? Although my wife's on a flight right now. She's on her way back. So, yeah. Except for quarantine.
Phoenix to Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City, because he was at Hill Air Force Base.
That's a neat town, Salt Lake City. Yeah.
It is. It's beautiful. Yeah. We were there for 5 years. Actually, I was there for 5 years. He was there for 4 years. He was 1 year remote in South Korea. And when he came back from South Korea, he moved over to the New Jersey Air National Guard, which is based in South Jersey. Okay. So I got a job in Philadelphia, and then from Philadelphia.
No kids at this point?
I started having kids in Philly. My first was born in 2010. So
got it. So you've been here.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Then you wanted to move to the woods where the raccoons come into your house through can we tell that on the podcast that
we 100%
got through your pet door and people should watch that?
I really, you know what? The truth is, I was hoping for a viral post. But yeah, it was crazy. One
night, post a picture of the raccoons and your kids?
I did post a picture, but I just did it on Instagram stories.
Oh, okay, I didn't see that.
But okay. I'll put it on regular Instagram. Anyway, yeah, so with this mama raccoon and four babies came crawling in our dog door in the middle of the night, and I heard this big crash in the kitchen, and they had thrown off the dog lid, the food container, and right. We're digging through that. They climbed up a ladder in the pantry. They ate all the peanut butter. They were ripping down tortillas and flour and confectioner's sugar.
It's like a movie thing. Yeah.
It was like a movie. Yeah. Right. And then I'm like, that's really cool. I want to see that again. So I left the dog door open a few more times. And
didn't.
They came back.
They came back.
Oh, yeah.
So you literally left it open so they would come back in your house. Probably rabid animals.
I know. It's not the smartest thing I've ever done.
Probably not, as long as your children are safe, I guess, at the time.
I shut all the doors. I'm like, don't come down here. Mama's going to get famous.
Yeah, right. Only somebody like you, who's an on-camera person, would be like, we got to get this on video. That is very funny. So that's what's on Instagram. It was the second take of...
It was the second. I mean, and then there's a few of them on there. Yeah, there's actually a few.
Check that out. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if anybody's listening, go to Instagram, go to Carrie's Instagram. You can see the raccoons in her house. It is funny.
Yeah. I've got a problem.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSite. You do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSite and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
Yeah. Okay. So then did you end up on TV in New York? Were you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I was on Today in New York. I worked at NBC.
Okay.
And I was an anchor, a breaking news anchor and a reporter for their morning show, Today in New York.
I probably saw you. I used to watch all that stuff. Yeah.
When
there was news on TV. But so what was the metamorphosis like? Oh, I'm going to go out and, you know, my own.
No. Well, you know, it's interesting because for a long time I had been growing increasingly disillusioned with news. The storytelling aspect, I mean, I had some great experiences. I went over to Iraq with my husband's squadron. I was there for three weeks. I reported live from Balad Air Base. I had some really great experiences, but TV has always struggled with context, and it's because there's a finite period of time, you know? And so a lot of the storytelling has, I don't want to say disappear. There are still great storytellers.
Just because things are so soundbite related.
So soundbitey, yeah, right? It's drive-by shootings and potholes.
Queeby. Queeby, right? Queeby for movies, yeah.
That's exactly what it is. But those issues are important to those communities, right? And they have a crime problem. There's a lot of shootings. Those are important issues. However, when you can't give any context or you can't explain why you decided to cover this bodega shooting versus the other 95 that happened, and it's really just because we happen to have a stringer, which is a freelancer photographer who happened to be near the crime scene.
And you have the footage. Yeah.
Right. Those things got frustrating for me. So my contract was about to end, and I finally said to my husband, you know, and my job, my role had changed a little bit. I was doing a lot of political news, which I can do, but it's not my favorite. I'd never sign up for a political reporting position. And I said, so here's the deal. My contract is up. I've got 3 kids. I'm exhausted. I am depressed. I am a shell of who I used to be. I can sign another 3-year deal and see what happens and try and use those 3 years to create a runway. But we all know that I'm miserable there. And then I'm 3 years older and women have a shelf life in TV and the kids are 3 years older and everything gets a little more complicated. Or I can jump out now and try and see what's out there. And so we opted to jump out now and see what's out there. I had no intention of starting a business.
Oh, none. Really?
None. No, I know nothing about business. I've never reported on business. I've never taken a business course. I've always found it rather dry.
It can be dry, yeah.
It can be dry.
But you know your business, though.
I know there's a different side of it now. And so in the course of networking, because I haven't done anything other than TV at this point, and I know what PR does, for example. I know what the industry is about, but what does a day in the life of somebody who works in that industry look like? And those are the things that I was trying to find out. Where will I enjoy being? Where can I use my skills? Okay. And so I was networking with that goal in mind to figure out where I wanted to go. And this woman who works for a large law firm in the city doing PR and communications said, "You're crazy to try and go back into the corporate world. You have this skill set that you've curated or manifested over 20 years almost. Most people don't have it. Video is king right now. Everybody's looking for a way into the media. You need to sell that, create a business around that." And I was like, "You're right. I do."
Yeah, so there's nobody doing on-camera consulting. I haven't met anybody except you. Yeah.
I mean, there's a few, but they're
okay.
Not.
Okay. Well, I've never heard of them.
I know.
Until I met you, and I met you through networking too. So,
and so I went home and I told my husband I was going to start a business, and he was like, "Excuse me, and you don't know anything about business," and that's very true. I didn't then. I was several months in before I knew what a P&L was.
Okay. You're the accidental entrepreneur.
I am very much the accidental entrepreneur, but here I am. I'm a year plus in, and I absolutely love it. Much like your friend, I would never in a million years go back to TV. You could not pay me enough to go back to TV.
Right.
And I feel like I'm actually doing something that makes the best use of my skills and helps other people who also need video content, creation, presentation, video brand stories, all of that stuff, video for social. How do you make effective and compelling video? How do you use it in the right way? How can I help you do that? How can I, like I said, make sure that 2-minute video takes you 2 minutes to shoot, you like the end result, and it does what you need it to do?
Okay, so here we are. So, and I was trying to figure out this morning, because I know we met originally on the North Chamber meetup when you did your speech, but you didn't really meet me. You met everybody at the same time. And then there was a woman, Sandy Serbanak or something, on LinkedIn that connected us. That's how we that's how we got connected. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's all networking. Yeah.
It is. There's the interesting thing now is that, and I did a post on this on LinkedIn a couple of weeks back, is that I know as somebody who's shy and who is naturally an introvert, networking can be really intimidating. Walking into a room filled with people who all seem to know one another and you're not sure how to break into conversations or how to connect with people and then transition from just having kind of those superficial conversations into something that goes a little bit deeper and potentially something for both of you. And right now, because we can't really do that, LinkedIn is such a great opportunity for people who, like me, tend to be somewhat shy and introverted to jump into conversations. I mean, nobody thinks anything of a random person jumping into their LinkedIn comments and posting a question or, asking for feedback or whatever the case may be. It provides such a great opportunity, and video gets so much traction on LinkedIn. It's hands down the way to go. A video post on LinkedIn will get you far more engagement than than a picture, and especially just the text.
Yeah, because they're algorithms. I like that. You know, it's funny you say that, because I took it for granted. I've always been a big networker. I'll go to events, not know anybody, walk up, hi, talk. But I had some friends that I knew for a while. I'd caught up with them, and they were like, you know, I don't understand this whole networking thing. Like, what do you do? Yeah. I don't know what to say. And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean? You just talk and just meet people. So I put them in touch with some people that I know that are very good networkers to like kind of give them some pointers. But they would leave these meetings with like business cards, and then they wouldn't like, well, what do you do now? I mean, what do you do? You call them, you send them an email, you reach out, you grab a cup of coffee, or now you do it on Zoom.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's tough, if you don't know how to do it, like the logistics of networking. And then if you have, you know, your personality is diametrically opposed to jumping into a conversation filled with strangers, it can be pretty tough.
It's funny how you're like an on-camera person, but you're like one-on-one, you're like, I don't like this. You know? Maybe you feel differently about it now, but
I don't. Right. So now I understand what it's all about. And now I feel very comfortable. Like, I feel very comfortable being on camera now. But for example, I just released a digital course, an online course.
Right, and I saw that. Yeah.
The marketing agency and I were reviewing some of the footage, and that's when I really struggle. I'm like, I can't look.
You don't like looking at yourself?
Tell me if it looks good and I'm going to trust you. That's when I can't. I don't like to go back and review footage. It just is very painful. I think most people feel the same way.
Yeah. Listening to myself on the podcast to start was difficult. Now I'm used to it, but.
Well, it's because you have that cognitive dissonance. For you, you sound different, right?
Very
when
much
you're
so.
You're listening to yourself versus when you're on tape versus when you're actually listening to yourself speak. But to everybody else, there's no difference. That's just what you sound like.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. People say, oh, you have a voice for radio. And I'm like, I do not have it doesn't sound that way to me at all.
Right. You're like, I sound all nasally and annoying.
Yeah, that's basically what I think. Yeah, exactly.
You don't, but I know that's how I think.
That's how it sounds to me. So, all right. So let's talk about, so now you've been building the business, you're getting clients, you're running your business, which is great. And maybe you can tell us how you grow your business and what challenges, because we're going to get into like pointers for people
that go
on camera, but like what challenges have you found being a business owner, you know, well, now that you're an entrepreneur?
You know, it's interesting because I had no strategy at all in, really? I was just running. No, I didn't even know
like
I was
marketing strategy. Like, how am I going to find customers?
Nothing. I mean, below nothing, I had zero. Right. I didn't even have a LinkedIn account.
Okay. For those of you listening, don't do what Carrie's saying. Nothing, just like start up and have no plans, nothing in writing.
Zero plan, nothing in writing. I'm like, hello, LinkedIn. I just started a business.
Right. Okay. You put yourself out there at least. Yeah, that was it.
And that's really how I just started. I didn't even know what sort of video businesses, I know video presentation, but like I couldn't articulate how a business would really use video or even what a brand is and what video meant for that. I just knew that I knew how to do video and I need to start putting stuff out there and I need to capitalize on my news creds and I leverage that.
Okay.
Some of the connections I had in the news business. Could I train somebody to be a contributor on MSNBC or Fox Business? 100%. And that's how I started. I started by talking about that. And I realized
you have people to reach out to? Like you already had a bit of a Rolodex of people that you could say, hey, I'm doing this. Can I help you? No?
Yeah. I mean, I did. But for the most part, it would have been... I mean, there's nobody on air that is, right? The networks already have consultants for their on air people, et cetera, right?
If Even I was for a contributing person,
not for a contributor, but the process to getting to that stage is not just, hey, let's pitch the network and teach me how to talk on camera.
Right. I understand.
You need to put a sizzle reel together so that you can pitch yourself with videos. So the network
knows. Which is like a video biography or video
like a highlight
resume,
reel, right? It aims to show three things: that you're not repugnant. People won't vomit looking at you on TV.
Repugnant is a good word. Okay.
that you know what it is you're talking about, that you are in fact an expert in this area, this industry, or this, you know, thought leadership role,
right,
and that you are interesting on camera. That's one of the biggest components that people forget. It's people don't watch boring people on TV. You have to be interesting.
Yeah, of course.
And so it's the sizzle reel is a 2 to 3 minute reel that shows all of those elements, and you use it when you're pitching producers. But there's steps to get to where you have enough footage to put together a compelling sizzle reel.
But you're not an agent. Like, you're not helping them get jobs. No,
I'm not helping them get jobs, but I can facilitate connections with people that I know in the news industry. I will never pitch myself
right,
as an
the rest
agent.
Of it's on them,
I'm not
right?
a PR person, but yeah. You're really good at this. I know this person at NBC, and they mentioned to me that they were looking for, you know, some new faces when it comes to the tech industry. So right. Let me connect you guys and maybe.
But you were also not doing the video production. Like, you're coaching the people how to be on camera, right?
Yes. Okay. So, I mean, really both things. So, So for example, I have a couple of tech execs in the city, and they are looking to position themselves as thought leaders and industry experts in the tech field, so that when there is a tech story that, let's say, CNN or, you know, Fox Business needs a little analysis on or needs the little color, they're on the short list of people that they're going to call to come in or hop on Zoom now and provide that analysis or that color for that particular story. What that means for small business owners in terms of their media exposure, well, they may not have the ability to get on the Today Show tomorrow, but there are plenty of local outlets, both online and traditional broadcast, that they do have the ability to leverage their experience and scale their visibility and their credibility. However, you can't, it's the goal is not a one-hit wonder. The goal is to be asked back repeatedly so that the exposure is consistent and that you can leverage that exposure for new opportunities and for bringing clients to your website or to your phone or whatever it is. And I think, you know, the digital world is very noisy right now.
Yeah,
and there's something, even though the audience is in a state of contraction, there is something about being on TV that creates an instant credibility factor or credibility marker for a person in business. And so maybe you're going to go on News 12, or maybe you're going to go on Hip New Jersey, or maybe you are looking to, you know, get on CBS too, WCBS, a local CBS station here, rather than, you know, the early show.
Right. But can a business owner do that himself, or does he need a publicist?
You don't need a publicist.
Okay.
Here's the thing. It is a long,
I don't want to insult my friends who are in the PR business, but I just want to know. Small business owners can't afford that all the time.
That's the thing. You can pay $15,000 a month for a PR agency or a publicist. You can do it on your own. I know people who do it on your own, who've done it on their own. You just need to know the steps to take and how you weasel your way into the newsroom so that people are familiar with who you are. Part of that is social media, making sure that you have a presence there, because that's how, what's one of the ways producers
check you out. Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. All of those different elements are important. And then also for small business owners, for me, it's creating marketing video, right? So content creation, creating good video, making sure that your message is on point and your delivery is compelling and you're putting the right information out there. And you know that formula for bringing somebody to the end of your video and then having them hopefully engage with you in some way.
Right. I think people even just forget to smile half the time. I think I do too.
It's huge. People forget to smile. Like, it's the easiest way. I've had people say, well, I can't smile on cue. I'm like, smile because you have the opportunity to put yourself.
Well, if you do it enough, you get used to it. You know,
you get you. Listen, I was on the news. I can fake smile to the, you know.
Well, you're good at it. You're a professional. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So let's talk about some things like, you know, what are you teaching people? What should they know? How can a business owner, because you mentioned business owners should be creating video content as well.
Absolutely. So there is a little formula that it usually works. It should work if you do it well. Now, there's always caveats. I always like to say that, right, communication is not a science. It is an art. There are some best practices that work across the board, but everything needs to be calibrated to your particular audience and authentic to you and your business and how you communicate, right? So this 2 minute video.
Listen. So, as part of that though, you have to know your audience, right? People have to know what their target market is. And a lot of people don't.
That's the first thing.
Yeah, well, good advice. I say to people all the time, if you don't know who you're, you can't do business with everybody, right? So you can't make a video that for the whole world. So you have to really narrow that down first.
You do. And you may have different audiences.
That's okay.
Right? There may be, right? I have execs and I have small business owners. There are different audiences, but very rarely is there one video that applies to both in equal measure, right? There's different source of content that applies to them. And I specify that content based on not only what I'm saying, but also where I put it, who I tag in it, the hashtags that I use, all of that strategy, right? So like if I have a, so the course that I put out for high school students on doing their college interviews on Zoom, that is a course where I have posted some on LinkedIn, but I've done much more work in promoting that on Facebook and Instagram, because that's where parents and high schoolers are. Right. Now, when I'm promoting my media training for executives, that content is almost exclusively on LinkedIn. Unless I'm targeting the executives' handlers, which are HR people, and sometimes those folks are on Facebook. There's, again, like I said, there's caveats to everything. You really have to do your research and find out where that audience is, but you need to know who your audience is first.
Okay.
So the 2-minute formula is this. Basically, you can do longer video, but only if you're super compelling on camera. I always suggest that 2 minutes or shorter is the way to go. Shorter is always better. Don't give me that long branded statement off the top, the one that's boring as hell, where you talk about here's I'm so-and-so, I do this, I do that, here's my website, here's my hashtag, here's my
follow-up. Like a video biography.
Oh my God, yeah. That's just a long, boring. Don't tell me all of your credentials.
Right.
Display your credentials in the content that you're giving, right?
Okay.
So 8 seconds in, if you haven't gotten somebody's attention, you're not going to get it. So get right into the heart of what it is that you're talking about, right? I'm going to talk to you today about how to not be a doofus on camera. Let me tell you this quick story. You tell a micro story that's, 30 to 60 seconds that displays your credibility. Maybe it's a story about a client, how you helped them, your own personal experience, or the way you overcame an obstacle that has to do with whatever it is, service that you're selling your clients. And then at the end, have a call to action. Leave yourself 20 seconds for a call to action. I always say it and display it. Put the text there. Tell them what to do. 1 to 2 items only. If you do any more than that, they won't do anything. So, sign up, subscribe to my YouTube channel and book a call, or, whatever the case may be, whatever it is that you want them to do. If you tell them to do all the things, they will do none of the things. So tell them to do 1 or 2 things. And
is that because it's like brain overload? Like people,
they just start to shut down. Yeah. People can't absorb all of that. Just YouTube and Facebook and subscribe to your newsletter and book a call and check out my website. I'm not doing any of it because I don't have time to do all of that
stuff. It's just too much, right? You feel like you got to do everything or nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
2 calls to action at the most.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good advice.
And that's it. It's a simple video formula, and you can shoot it on your phone. I shoot everything on my phone and then put it out there. That's the only way you start. That was my whole strategy in the beginning.
Just put it out there.
Put it out there.
Oh, I know some people that have shot videos. They're like, well, I'm not really ready to put it out there. I'm like, you got to just put it out there.
That's the thing. If you keep waiting until you're ready, you won't put it out. And truly, 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 the best way to get organic, followers and engagement is to put stuff out there that asks people, what do they want to hear from you? What do they want to see from you? Or from your own personal experience, what is the thing that I wish somebody would have told me? Start that way, and you can garner traction and engagement from people by asking them what they want to hear and what they want to see and what they want to learn. But if you don't put it out there,
you get no feedback.
Nobody knows you. That's the thing. It's you could be the greatest, left-handed yak herder in the world, but if you don't post it constantly on LinkedIn and Facebook, nobody's going to know you're the greatest left-handed yak herder in the world. So you got to be out there in order for people to know that you're out there.
You work with a lot of yak herders?
So many.
That's a specialty of yours.
Mostly right-handed, though. I'm really looking to branch into the left-handed ones.
Right. Talk about target marketing.
Very niche.
Yeah, very much so. Can you give me some examples of some industries that you've worked, you know, executives? You mentioned tech, but.
Absolutely. So tech, I have a couple of doctors at Weill Cornell who I do media training with. I have some lawyers that I, law firms that I have created programming for in terms of, we do a lot of work with, you know, everything is being done virtually now. So they're meeting with clients. They're often even trying cases.
Yeah, virtually. Yeah, in front of judges now, I know.
Exactly. And yeah. There are some simple things. I mean, for a lot of people, it sounds like it's aesthetics, and it is, but it's aesthetics with a purpose. So how do you make sure that everything that's going on in your virtual shot is something that's amplifying your message and making your point more clearly and helping you achieve authority and credibility through that camera lens, which for a lot of people, and I understand, is foreign. So finance, I work with accounting firms doing the same thing. In fact, I have an accounting firm who's looking to transition their website from a mostly text-based website into a more video-based website. And so we're working on presentation and messaging. I have a lot of small business owners who are looking for, listen, I need to make my marketing dollars stretch. I need to be able to put out video content on the regular, and I don't know how to do it. In fact, actually, one of the things that I just started offering is for businesses who realize that they need to have video content out there, but they don't know the next right step. They don't know what to do. They're perhaps overwhelmed with everything else that they have going on. Listen, I get it.
Right.
What I do is I will create anywhere from 2 to 4 videos for them a month, videos that are anywhere from 2 to 3 minutes that they can then pull out small bits for, you know, creating newsletters around or social media posts. But those longer videos they can use as videos on LinkedIn that are either tutorials or thought leadership pieces or explain how a product or a service works. And then I share those
videos.
This
is you in the video or them in the video?
It's me in the video.
So and you're doing I share it for them.
Okay. I'm doing it for them. I share their videos on all of my social platforms, and then they also have the videos to use for themselves.
Oh, okay. Good. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So if somebody wants to interact with you, well, you're probably easy to find, but what's the best way for them to do it? We'll put it in the show notes, but.
The easiest way is I just launched my new website, which is Kerry, yes. K-E-R-R-Y, Barrett Consulting. Yep. And you can book a strategy or a consultation call with me directly through there. You'll also obviously find my email and my phone number where you can call. Do you hear my children screaming?
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, it's good times.
It's real life.
You can book a call with me, you can email me, and you can also obviously find me on all the social platforms. Most likely the most pertinent for your particular audience is LinkedIn.
Okay. And is it like hourly packages or is it a flat, how does it work?
It really depends on that. So the interesting thing is I do have programs that I can plug people into, but I really try and create something that is very tailored to what their specific needs and their budget is. And the thing about public speaking or speaking on camera or video messaging for the most part is that people come into it with different levels of experience. And so somebody may come into this with, I don't know anything about anything. I don't know anything about gear. I don't know anything about messaging. I definitely don't know anything about delivery. And so for them, the program is quite different than for somebody who is, I'm already pretty good at this. I have the gear. I know the setup. I just need to up level my presentation. And so I try and create a program that is very specific to what they need to do and what their ultimate goals are and something that falls within their budget.
So you will help them even pick equipment. Like if somebody says, I don't know anything about lighting or camera or whatever, you'll help them with some ideas.
And the thing, lighting and camera are tricky things. And I could give you suggestions, but unless I actually see the space in which you do most of your shooting, it's hard to provide an educated suggestion. And so for somebody like that, I may ask them to, you know, get on a Zoom call on your phone and walk me around your office and show me where it is that you're shooting and let me see your light sources and let me see the colors. And is that a good spot? You know, maybe that, maybe your husband's going to be mowing the lawn outside and all of the people are going to hear it. Is there another space in your home that might be more quiet? And so I walk them through and then I can give them educated suggestions on what sort of gear that they need.
All right. Well, I thank you for the hour of your time here and sharing your ideas. And
if you like our podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is a production of Mitchell C. Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about Mitchell and his practice, you can find him on social media or visit his website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.